This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it.
Hey everybody, this is Matt. And on this episode, I wanted to share with you the Christmas story I told my family. And from my family to yours, we wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, and rebirth and resurrection in the new year.
And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press gang, and to selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun.
Mom and I have been going through a little bit of the journey here we want to let you know about. And Christmas time is an appropriate time to do it, because Jesus was someone who was very important to me. I had a particular understanding of what Jesus was, and it always inspired me. And I love that part about Christmas, and I feel like I've taken that from you guys since we left the church and are atheist. And I've had a different shift in my perspective, and it's really helped me out, and I think it'll help you guys out too. So, Mom and I want to talk to you about our Christmas story, okay? I want to teach you about my Jesus, all right? And I want to try to convince you that Jesus is real. And when I say Jesus, he had a number of names. He had the Word that was from the beginning, made flesh, Emmanuel. He was like you and I. He had a mom and a dad and tried to figure out his place in the universe. He thought about things like existence and consciousness, death, suffering, love, nature. He thought about all these things. And he thought about the religion of his time and the religion that he was brought up in. And he realized that they were really bound by rules that didn't make a whole lot of sense. He saw that they were bound up in purity tests, in treating people who are outside of their group differently, and othering.
Sounds familiar.
Well, that's what he experienced. And he saw these leaders who said, well, we have authority, and this is what you should do. And he thought, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because as he contemplated things, what he taught, what he thought, was be nice to people, help other people, heal, love, welcome people in. And these are some of the things that he taught. He taught how to take care of the poor. He talked about how the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was at hand, was right amongst us. He contemplated the lilies of the field, spent time in nature, the birds of the air. He was comfortable and at peace in the rain and in the ocean. He was kind of a hippy-dippy dude that taught peace and love and acceptance and tolerance. He invited people that other people wouldn't hang out with And he fed people. And he taught people about love. Two great commandments. Love God and love your fellow man. And that resonated with people. It felt true. And they listened to him and started to follow him and wanted to be like him. And he realized he was a little different. Maybe it was because of the way he loved, maybe because of the way he just saw things. He knew he was different. At some point, he had followers, people that he trusted. They were really friends. And he and a couple of his friends went up to this mountain one day. And as he's there, he's taking ancient medicines, a root or a berry or a fungus, and he's meditating. And as he meditates, he again thinks about his place in the universe. He thinks about the heavens above and the earth below. And it's on there, on that mountain, where he has a realization.
From this distant vantage point, the earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on the mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves.
I love the pale blue dot.
Me too.
So, I like to think that the man Jesus spent time on that mountain thinking about the cosmos.
I just made that up.
And the scope of it and how big it is. And when he thought about those things, he started to understand something about himself. But he continued to teach love. He continued to heal people. And he had the desire to save people. Like, now, remember when I was telling you guys last night about the Garden of Gethsemane?
Mm-hmm. The most important part.
The most important part, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane, Tori? You weren't here last night. We had a review where he prayed and bleeding from every pore, right?
Right.
Well, again,
that's
think
what people do when they have Ebola. I learned that.
I think this is another place he's going, and he's meditating and he's spending time.
He had Ebola. Stop. Okay, she's teasing because that's what she learned.
Actually, what are you doing?
Okay.
Right. So spending time, but he was thinking about one thing. He's thinking about what we all think about often: impending death. Because he realized at this time, as much insight as he had into the universe and as much love that he felt for other people, he was going to die. That was going to happen. He's in the garden. He's experienced this impending death and the reality that life is short. And that's when he starts experiencing love. True love. Because death is the imperative to love. And I know I keep preaching this to you guys, but what I mean by that is we are all going to die. At some point, that's going to happen. Whether it be 40 years from now, tomorrow, another day. Life is precious. Life is short. The very preciousness of that has to compel us to love. And I think that's what Jesus understood, and that's what he experienced in the garden. And that was the suffering that he experienced, was this emotional suffering born of love for other people. Not a magical suffering of bleeding from every pore, but a real empathetic reaction to an existential problem, to death, to the very temporary nature of life. And that's when he understood something. Because he had already been transfigured, he had already felt divine, he had already experienced that awakening on the mountain, and now he realized with that much love and that much feeling, the real truth of it. And that was that he is God. That was the understanding that he had. And that's been the story this entire time that we've brought up on. Jesus is God. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's to celebrate the birth of our God. But it wasn't until this year that I realized that that's all a true story. But Jesus, the man who spoke in parables, who said that there would be many that speak of his name, but that his sheep would hear his voice, the word from the beginning, Emmanuel, which is translated to God with us. Jesus is the parable. Jesus is an archetype. He's a pattern. He's the example. He's the way, the truth, and the light. He's a symbol. He is a concept. He was the path through to enlightenment, and he's the path and the example for you all to find the truth of the universe. And the truth of the universe is the truth spoken by Jesus. I am God. Jesus is me. Jesus is you. Jesus is your mom. Jesus is everyone you come in contact with. That if you want to be happy, if you want to find inner peace, you have to actually believe and understand and come to the knowledge that you are God. Because you all feel love and you heal and you create. Jesus said, love God, love your fellow man. If you are God, the big path, the journey, the struggle is to actually love yourself. Because we're so bound up in insecurities and struggles and feelings of inadequacy and shame and self-doubt and blame. Because since you were kids, you were taught that. It was foisted upon you. Part of it because of your religion, part of it because we did our best to do what we could do, but we screwed up and caused trauma on you. Because you remember when Jesus said about how the kingdom of heaven is like a little kid? Well, that's what he said. It's like a little kid. And then he went on further and he said, if anyone offend these little ones, it's better than a millstone hanging around their neck and they'd be drowned in the ocean or something like that. It's been a while, right? What he's talking about is causing trauma to little kids. Avoiding causing trauma to kids, to other people. Making kids feel safe. And you guys do that. You guys are very good at that. I see how you treat little ones. I see the empathy and the feeling that you have. That is Christ-like. That is healing. You welcome people to your table. You show love. And as you show love, you have connection with other people. And that is godly. And I want you to understand that. But understanding it is one thing. Even maybe exploring your intuition that may be intuitive to you. Yeah, that makes sense. That rings true to me. But it's hard to actually feel and actually know and actually feel I am God. That's the path to enlightenment. But the path to enlightenment has to be through healing. Healing that trauma that you all experienced and continue to experience. And as you heal that trauma, you will get closer and closer to the great truth that you are God, because you will finally get to a point where you can love yourself. Love God, then love your fellow man. Jesus exists. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word from the beginning made flesh. The Word from the beginning is love. God is love. It's been there the whole time. The story of Jesus has been telling us this the whole time, very plainly. But we're so filled with self-doubt that we're more apt to believe there is God rather than here is God. And here is God. And here is God. But when you come to that realization, when you go through that healing, and you come to that realization, you will experience reality. And you will experience that heaven on earth, or I should say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is among you. The kingdom of heaven is this, guys. It's connection and love here and now. It's doing this tonight. It's embracing. It's feeling love and it's expressing love. It's inviting people into the home. It's healing people. It's taking care of the poor. You guys are already doing that, and you're built to do that. And I see that in you, and I'm inspired by it. But I want you guys to know exactly who you are. And I want you to feel it. But on Christmas, when you hear those songs celebrating the birth of Jesus, I smile because I've met Jesus. I've met Jesus with your mother, or in your mother, and the way she heals and the way she loves. I see Jesus in our friends, the way they treat people. And I see Jesus in each of you, because he is a symbol for love. Why I keep telling people that at this Christmas time, I want you to remember all you need is love. But you have to love yourself first. If you don't love God,
you can't love them.
It's harder to love other people, and it creates disconnect and separation. The story that I will tell you about is my path, where I've done a lot of the things that Jesus experienced by through meditation and just through thinking about my place in the universe and consciousness and death. And as I've done that,
and seeing suffering,
experience other people's suffering in my life, and then ultimately having to heal my own trauma and going through that. And as I've done that, I've realized I'm enough. And you are too. So what I celebrate at Christmas is you, Dylan, and you, Tommy, and you, Tori, and you, Joni, and you, Kristen, and me. I celebrate your birth, the birth of God.
You guys do.
I love you guys. It's only getting better from here.
Sun, sun, sun. comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right.
From Thrones.